Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Love, love you, darling. Come and go with me. Don't let me be beyond the sea. I need you, darling. So come go with me.
Thank God it's almost Friday. I don't know how to get through this week with bombs and this and this coming Saturday with North Korea. Will he, with a crazy fat one, set off a bomb? Will we attack him? Will it be a nuclear war? Who can take it anymore? Did you ever think it would be this crazy one day after the other? Here I am getting over the flu. Now it switches into allergies. Now my head's spinning from the bombing and the fact that Trump is doing half of what he promised, which is about 50% more than most of you think you were going to get anyway, which is 150% more than we would have had if Hillary had won. And then I wake up and I see that Assad's being compared to Hitler. I said, can we just get this in context for a moment, please? Do I have to straighten this out for myself, if not for everyone else? Okay, yeah, Assad is a dictator. Is he the worst dictator on the planet? Well, I don't know. Let me ask you something. Since most of you don't know anything about Assad and what he's doing, let's start with the top of it. It's a civil war in Syria. Okay, it's a war between who? Between a secular Stalinist called Assad, who is protecting the Christians, the Jews, and the Alawites from Muslim fanatics of the type that cut heads off people, burn babies alive, etc. In other words, he doesn't want an Islamist takeover of Syria. It's a civil war. So which side are we on? Well, we thought we were on the side of a secular government. But as we learned with Saddam Hussein, we're not. Saddam Hussein was a monster. Another secularist, another Stalinist who we killed while he was in captivity. And look what happened in Iraq after we killed him. When are we going to learn? Well, I ask myself, who is the worst dictator that we're talking about here? Okay, which dictator am I describing? He was responsible for the deaths of 650,000 to 750,000 people. He ordered hundreds of newspapers who spoke out against him to be shut down. He had owners and editors arrested for disloyalty. He had thousands jailed without cause. He suspended habeas corpus, tortured many prisoners to death. Many other prisoners died in captivity. He had a congressman in his country arrested. He had many members of a state legislature and a mayor and prominent citizens jailed without charges for years. Do you know who I'm talking about? Well, I'll go on, because you may not know who I'm talking about. You think it's Assad, don't you? This same dictator terrorized the enemy. He ordered his generals to march through their cities, live off the land, take people's food and livestock, burn their houses, and burn many of the cities to the ground. Many of his troops boasted about rapes and murders. Who am I talking about? Well, you don't know yet because your brain has been washed. Many of you don't know who I'm talking about. Which dictator am I talking about? Well, I was talking about Abraham Lincoln. That's right, Abraham Lincoln, the great man. Now, one of his generals, Sherman, was very famous for his devastating march to the sea, which devastated much of Georgia and the Confederacy. What did he actually do? Well, they wrecked virtually everything in their path. They blew up 300 miles of railroad, numerous bridges, miles of telegraph lines, killed horses, mules, cattle, seized cotton, corn. What else did they do? Well, General Sherman's men, 60,000 Union troops marched to the sea. They began the Savannah, Georgia campaign after burning Atlanta to the ground. And what did they do on that march? They raided farms and plantations, stealed, slaughtered cows, chickens, turkeys, sheep, and hogs. Took as much food as they could. They burned the houses to the ground. They burned anything they couldn't carry. And then after arriving in Savannah in 1864, what did they do next? Well, when they got there, the city was undefended. You see what I'm trying to say to you? Civil War is pretty awful. And our dictator, who's now a hero, Abraham Lincoln, did things that were pretty terrible that have been forgotten by history. Lost in all of this nonsense is what Lincoln did during his Civil War. Destroyed property, people, became a dictator, killed about 650,000 to 750,000 Americans, died because of the Civil War of Abraham Lincoln. Now, of course, the minute I say Lincoln, you're going to say that slavery was the number one issue. That means you're an ignoramus of history. Because by Lincoln's own words, he did not enter the Civil War, create the Civil War, because of slavery. He said it had nothing to do with it. In fact, in his early days, he said he could live with slavery if the Union would be held together. Slavery was an add-on. So this is how history is rewritten. Now, what is my point? The point is, which dictator do you want to support? Who is the worst dictator we have ever seen? You want to rank them? How do you rank it? If you get a hangnail, it's your hangnail. Well, anyway, that's one topic I was going to talk about, but it's too much to talk about, isn't it? I mean, we could talk about North Korea. What is going to happen in North Korea on Saturday when the fat one's grandfather's birthday is celebrated? Is it going to be an internal coup fostered by China? Would there be a U.S.-China joint invasion? Special forces taking him out? Will there be a diplomatic solution? Who knows? Who can answer questions like this? We're just living through it. Crazy times. So before we rush to judgment, we better think about history. Those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. Meanwhile, here in America, we have the United Airlines passenger dragged off the plane, broke his nose, broke his sinuses, broke his teeth or something. When I watched it, I was appalled, and I saw the cover-up articles, the hate articles that came out saying, well, he was gay, and he did it. I said, so what? What do you mean? That justify what they did to him? See, I don't know why they haven't arrested the thugs who did this to the Chinese guy, the Vietnamese Chinese man on the United plane. Why were those so-called officers not arrested? I saw the thug who did it to him. Where's the thug? The Chicago thug. Look who they hire in Chicago to be police. Where'd they get him from, the Crips or the Bloods? Did you see that incident and what they did to this man? There was no justification for it whatsoever. Now, in the midst of all of this, the insanity now of being afraid of a chicken stand on campus. Conservative outlet The Daily Caller tweeted out an article entitled "University's LGBT Students Fear Arrival of Chick-fil-A." Can you believe how sick this has become? That's all they're afraid of now, is a chicken stand on the campus? They're rioting now? So President Trump's eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., retweets the article about a chicken stand arriving, Chick-fil-A arriving on a college campus, and a couple of students going nuts over the arrival of the chicken stand. I don't know what they're afraid of. I don't know what they're threatened by here. But Trump's eldest son, Trump Jr., retweets the article and says, quote, "Luckily, these students won't likely have to tackle issues more stressful than a yummy chicken sandwich in their lives." Then he says, oh, wait, hashtag triggered. I think it's funny. And, well, of course, they go crazy, and they start attacking Trump Jr. And they say he's the problem. I think it's quite funny, this whole thing. Donald Trump Jr. says, luckily, these students won't likely have to tackle issues more stressful than a yummy chicken sandwich in their lives. Oh, boy. And now, of course, the LGBT community is so mad at him. They have no bigger problem on earth, such as Iran throwing gays off roofs. That's not their issue. The issue is a chicken sandwich and anti-bullying campaigns on campus. Tommy Lahren says some 18-year-olds watch their friends get blown to pieces in battle, while some college students are triggered by chicken. Come on. Some students at a private Catholic university in Pittsburgh, PA, are apparently less than enthusiastic about a chicken fillet stand. How does this cause an emotional reaction, a chicken fillet stand on a campus? Duquesne students claim Chick-fil-A. Students at Duquesne University are fearful over plans to add a Chick-fil-A in the dining hall, claiming that it will put their safe place at risk. How is that even possible? A few crazy students fear a chicken sandwich? And they're rioting over this? Well, anyway, and this is an example of how weak this country has become that will argue over a thing like this. I've never had a Chick-fil-A, but I've seen them around. People seem to like them a lot. Don't call on that one. How could a chicken sandwich threaten anyone? I don't understand that. Well, since we're talking about sexual issues, I see another article. Gender expert says teens are trying to be transgender because it's trendy. One of Australia's top experts on gender has raised concerns that children and teens are overdiagnosed as transgender. They say they want to be transgender. It's a new cool thing to be. It's the new cool thing to be. Brisbane's Lady Salento Children's Hospital said a gender dysphoria diagnosis will be given to only a tiny minority of the 180 minors who seek treatment at his clinic this year. Anyway, I don't even can't go into this stuff, but it seems to be like a social insanity right now. I was walking somewhere yesterday. I don't know where I was. I'm getting over this flu. I was walking. I heard a kid talking to his mother. I don't know if it was a boy or a girl. I didn't look. It wasn't someone I really paid attention to. But my head snapped because I heard the child say to the mother, in a matter-of-fact way, yeah, it was a girl, and she said, "Mommy, I think I'm going to be a boy." And the mother said, "That's fine." And they went on with their day. I said, "No, this is, what is going on in the country? It's like a noxious gas has been released in the air. And everyone's crazy." Clinic received $1.7 million in federal to cut wait times for patients seeking gender-related medical care. In an interview last month, Stathis said that up to three-fourths of young patients who present with gender-variant interests and behaviors or are gender diverse will outgrow the feelings and don't need treatment. I love the word treatment. Take a look who's giving the treatment. You ever ask yourself who's giving the treatment? So you might get a 6 or 7 year old girl wanting to dress as a boy. She may even say she wants to be a boy. When she hits puberty, she says, "No, I'm just a girl who likes to do boy things." But no, that's now an illness. So they put the kid now on hormone blockers. Then they tell them to get ready to socially transition them into the other sex. Then if it's a boy, they cut the Schmendrick off. If it's a girl, they add one. I mean, this is an insane society. Totally insane. The whole thing's crazy. How could a chicken sandwich threaten anyone? And this tranny trend, has it affected your family? I mean, is anyone listening to me affected by the tranny trend that's going on? What do you want to talk about Lincoln the Dictator, who I try to talk about at the beginning to put the Assad thing in context? Which side would Trump have been on during the American Civil War? Would he have bombed Lincoln? I'm trying to think this through, if I'm making the comparison. If Trump was president, would he have bombed Lincoln? I'm not trying to follow the whole madness of the whole times that I'm living in. Well, anyway, that's the world that we're living in. We're opening the show up with some of these crazy topics. Phone number is 855-407-282. I guess I could ask you the main question. What do you think is going to happen in North Korea? Will it be a coup? Will it be an invasion? U.S.-Chinese troops? You don't actually don't say Chinese troops. You say China troops. That's a tough one, you know, to use the correct grammar here. You don't say Chinese troops. You have to say China troops. I always find that difficult. China troops. Will it be China troops, U.S. troops invading, or will there be a diplomatic solution? Or will Fatso just abdicate and move to San Francisco and, I don't know, switch genders and disappear into the streets of San Francisco? We'll have to wait and see. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up tomorrow morning from 5 to 9, it's the KSFO Morning Show on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
He could always come out here, get transgender reassignment surgery, He would fit right in. He could work in one of the restaurants. They would revere him. It would be the end of the whole problem. Then North Korea's people might have a chance at life. How many? 30 million people starving to death there because of this fat pig? How in the world that you cannot see the difference between what communism, socialism is, and let's say relative freedom of democracy in South Korea, a booming economy in the South. They make televisions. What do they make in North Korea? Nothing. The people are starving to death. They live in a prison camp. And yet you got people who support Bernie Sanders who think that socialism works. I don't know. The world's crazy. No one thinks anymore. The LGBT crowd at Duquesne is frightened of a chicken sandwich. They don't want a chicken sandwich on the campus. It threatens their safe space. And this one, this crazy one, threatening to set off nuclear weapons. Well, I don't know. China has 150,000 troops. That's what we read on the border with North Korea. At first, I was afraid it was to defend him. But later on, we learned, no, it was actually to depose, knock him off. We don't know what they're there for. That's the problem with China, is you don't know, you can't read them very well. It's an old, you know, stereotype, but it still works. They were very ambivalent. Were they putting the troops on the border to defend against the throwing them out? If the U.S. Went in there, or were the troops there to throw him out? I don't know. You know, this is the problem. I'm only a talk show host. What do you want from me? What you want from me is everything. I pretend that I know everything, and sometimes I think I do, but then sometimes I'll tell you the truth. Nobody can know what's going on. As sharp as Plato was when he was writing about the shadows on the wall, as though he knew what the actors were actually doing, do we really know what the actors are doing here? Well, think about what I'm saying to you, because when I come back, we're all going to sing along again to the San Francisco song.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
This song is dedicated to Kim Jong-un. Missile up your rear. There, it worked. I just fit it in. You'll have to forgive me today. I'm a little zany. I'll tell you, I have such severe allergies that I may have made a critical mistake before going on the radio, which is I went into my closet, which I keep medicines in, which I never use. I'm a medicine hoarder. I like to get prescriptions and then not use them. I have a feeling of safety in case the world collapses. I have a pharmacy. But I never use them. I use food. I use vitamins. But I never use drugs. Unless it's, you know, catastrophic. I found a box of Sudafed 12-hour. And it was still good. It hasn't expired yet, you see. But the allergies are so severe, I could hardly move. I felt narcoleptic. Now, I've used Sudafed in the past. I kind of know the mechanism, you know, big deal. It's like a mild speed pseudoephedrine. Sudafed's been used for so long in all sorts of folk medicines and Chinese medicine. They had Ma Wang, which was used for these kinds of conditions. They took that off the market because it worked too well. I took one. I can't think. So I was looking at I'm starting to think that maybe my depression helps me to think. The chemicals that are released through my basic depression actually give me my insights. I'm starting to has anyone done a study on that? Is there a psychiatrist in the audience, or someone into neurochemistry, who can tell us that my suspicion is correct? I've long suspected, having studied minds, the minds of very creative people my whole life, most of whom are depressives, by the way, almost every last one of them. Is there something in this that makes sense to a psychiatrist out there? That you have to be somewhat down and depressed in order to think clearly. That if you're too happy, you start to sound like Ronald Reagan. Or worse yet, like Ford, like President Ford. I don't like optimistic people. I don't trust them, basically. So I was reading about Sudafed, and one of the warnings on the back says, do not take it if you're taking a MAO inhibitor. So I said, wait, I remember that. I remember back in the 60s in grad school, in pharmacology, when I first was reading how excited it was exciting it was to learn about these early stage antidepressants, the MAO inhibitors. I don't even know if they're prescribed anymore. I mean, they use, what do they use today? Prozac-like compounds, serotonin, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. But the MAO drugs were very interesting at the time. They were considered a great breakthrough for depression. And we studied how they work. You know, they slowed the reuptake of certain chemicals that made you feel good, in other words. They let them lay in your brain a little longer, right? So it says, don't take Sudafed if you are taking that. Now, I'm not taking the MAOs. So I'm trying to figure out the interaction now between the Sudafed and MAO inhibitors. I don't use MAO inhibitors, but it's an interesting thing, and there's something so important here. But because I took the Sudafed, I can't figure it out. It did nothing for me, by the way. All it did was allay the symptoms slightly, and I still can't. I can't think on this garbage. I hate drugs. I really do. Is there any psychiatrist in the house who can help me right now with this discussion? MAO inhibitors, does anyone know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's so interesting to me compared to what this garbage of politics. I hate politics. I feel like leaving politics and going back into pharmacy, pharmaceutical chemistry, botany. I can't stand anything but science anymore. Everything else is completely unknown and garbage. Everyone's a liar in politics. No one tells you the truth. You can't know what the hell they're talking about because half of them don't know what they're talking about. I mean, with all due respect to the president who I helped get elected, I think last week you said NATO is no good. Yesterday you said NATO was no good last week, but it's good now. Okay. I get it. NATO was no good, now it's good. Interest rates were too low, now they're good low. Yellen was no good, now she's good. So you can't trust any politicians at the end of the day. You just got to take a gamble that you're going to get more of what you want from the one that you voted for than the other one. It reminds me of what Linus Pauling said, the great scientist, one of the great scientists of our time, those of you who remember him. He said that he went into chemistry, the study of chemistry, because it was the one field where you could absolutely know what you were studying with a high degree of truth. Because when you break something down to its elements, the element is the element. In other words, if you break something down to lead, and you see there's lead, that's lead, there's gold, there's mercury, right? Then you know what it is. There's no arguing over it. It has a certain chemical structure, which you can determine through analysis. And he said, you can know, therefore, that that is what it is. Everything else, we don't know what it is. We all live in this shadowy world where we think we know what it is. It's a wonder how people function from day to day when you think about it. How they get up, brush their teeth, make their hair, get in a car, take the kids to school. I mean, it's pretty miraculous that the world goes on, given that most people don't know what reality is. Now, I don't want to get into what is reality, because that's so subjective, we can't get anywhere. But I guess I'm so jaded on the political world, you can't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. A week before, it was a week ago today, that Trump bombed Syria, based upon a false flag event, an invented gas attack, by all estimates, completely fraudulently invented by the people who want to overthrow Assad and start a war with Russia. What more do you need to know than all the people who hated him now love him and his popularity went through the roof? How much more do you need to know that Richard Pearl, one of the architects, one of the neocon architects of the Iraq invasion, is saluting Trump, but saying he didn't do enough and he should do more? What more do you need to know than what I've told you? Took MAO inhibitors, gave heart. See, this is what I want to do is chemistry. Woodrow Wilson, Chinese troops, PhD in neuroscience. Oh, I want a PhD in neuroscience. Thank God I have an educated person in the audience. I didn't think there was one. Helen on KSFO, line one, save me. Throw me a lifeline.
Hi, Michael. I love everything you say. I'm a new convert. I used to be a liberal for most of my life.
Well, wait a minute. You're an actual scientist, and you're no longer a liberal. Well, I really did get a big convert. All right, you have a doctor in neuroscience. I totally admire you. Could you talk to the audience for a minute about depression and thinking? Because I'm of the opinion, I have been my whole life, to not fight depression, but to work with it.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I've also worked with depression over my life. And for a while, I took sertraline, which is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And what it did was it made me very happy, but rather dull. So I think...
In other words, people you would normally not be seen in a room with, you suddenly thought were charming.
exactly. Like, I really enjoyed being with my children, which I had not.
And what? I mean, even family members who normally couldn't stand you because you were a grouse suddenly liked you?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I was super upbeat.
Well, what is about the chemistry of depression? Explain it to the audience of the benefits of depression. I know this is so counterintuitive to our current thinking in this country, where the minute they don't feel good, they're supposed to get medicated and treated. What is it about depression that's good for a person?
You know, I'm not sure my PhD qualifies me to say this, but my sense from just reading what I've read as a hobbyist is that depressed people are more responsive. They're just way more responsive to the environment, and they respond quickly. And if things are going a little bit downward, they really go downward with what they're picking up.
So in other words, people that were depressed are more sensitive? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. They tend to feel assaulted by the external world a little bit more. So
would that explain why the LGBT crowd at Duquesne is? Would that explain why the LGBT crowd at Duquesne is afraid of a chicken sandwich?
I don't know. I can't say.
Well, you heard that story. I wasn't joking. They want to open a Chick-fil-A on Duquesne University, and the LGBT crowd is up in arms. They're terrified of a chicken sandwich.
I don't think those people are necessarily depressed. I'm not sure.
Oh, you mean they're actually happy?
I think they tend to be, yeah. They seem awfully happy these days, don't you think?
Yeah, well, they're running the society pretty well. They get what they want.
They're sexual, and I'm super depressed.
What did you just say? You're a heterosexual and you're super depressed?
Yeah.
Well, it could be that you're a candidate for reassignment surgery, Ellen.
Oh, my God. Yeah, possibly. Who knows? Hey, I also wanted to address allergies. I'm staying in Half Moon Bay this week because my allergies are so bad that I'm like 10 feet from the ocean, and it really helps. So,
yeah. Have you ever had allergies as bad as they are now? What is being released in the air? It's beyond comprehension. It's like a noxious gas.
Well, where I live, it's oak pollen.
I have never in my life experienced the dizzying level of an allergic reaction I'm having now, especially after the flu and head cold I had. I may have to take off for Florida immediately over the weekend and be on the ocean because this is terrible.
Yeah, well, with all that rain, see, all the trees and the plants.
Isn't it great? Here I am a botanist by training who loves flowers, and flowers, the minute they appear, indicate hell on earth, hell on earth for me. Helen, so where are you? Down in Monterey over there by Cannery Row?
I'm in Moss Beach, actually. A beautiful
Moss place. Beach.
Literally 20 feet from the cliffs which are falling into the ocean as we speak.
See, I made a rational decision. It's almost like a Hobson's choice that I made last week. My family said, you know, your allergies are going to be really, really bad. So I said, well, okay, do you want to go to Florida where they don't exist because I have a place on the ocean, right? Except I go insane from alienation in Florida. So I said, I don't know what's worse, alienation or allergies. I took the allergies. I don't know what's worse, though. I may have to take the alienation. What are you doing at beach all day long? How can you take it? How is that possible to deal with that?
Oh, in Florida?
No, you're on a beach in Moss Beach. What do you do all day long?
Well, I'm actually on the cliffs above the beach, which helps a little.
Oh, no, please, wait, call 911. Helen, please, don't do it.
I'm right above the tide pool.
No, but don't you get bored sitting on a beach feeling good? Doesn't it bore you to death just feeling good looking at the ocean?
That's why I called you. No, just kidding. I've been calling you for months. I never get through, so I feel extremely lucky today.
Well, because you said PhD in neurosciences. That was my trigger. We had to take your call.
And I'm glad it worked. I feel blessed.
Well, take care of yourself there. Please do me a favor, though. Step back from the precipice the minute you hang up from me and you no longer have the emotional support of my voice. I tell you what, I'm going to send you a copy of Teddy and Me as a gift. I'm giving out Teddy books tonight. Maybe that'll cheer you up. The old guy's getting older, not younger. Unfortunately, he's the way of all flesh. KSFO, Derek, line two, welcome to the program. What's your topic?
Michael, I want to talk about your temperament. I love it. I love it when you're in moods like you're in today and you bring it down to, a finite level of we're all humans. We all put our pants on the same. And in a world where how scary things are with World War III, this dictator in North Korea. It's just a relief, and it almost, you can almost, your voice is almost a drug in itself.
Wow, opinion,
to a lot of listeners.
No, that's very, very interesting. The chemistry of a voice is another topic that, if I had many lives to lead, one of the fields I would like to go into would be neuroscience. Another field would like to be, I would love to study the effect of voice or just sound on neurochemistry, which I'm sure has been done. So
even in music, you see it in music. I mean, just the way that a person's voice can make you sound, or in my opinion, it's scientific. It's you could graph it almost.
Are you a musician, Derek?
I am not. I guess I'm just a creative thinker with a bachelor's degree in engineering, and I like to build stuff and work with my hands, honestly.
But you also are probably a ruminator. A lot of things get to you, I would imagine, and the hours you're working alone, your mind's working all the time, right?
Constantly. It doesn't stop.
It can get to you after. If you have that kind of mind, a creative mind, sometimes you want it to stop and it won't stop, and there's no way to stop it. And that's what scares people, and that's where the drugs start to come in. But it's not the only outlet. There are many, many other ways to stop it. You know, well, I'd love to talk about this at length, but I'm not the expert in this field that I would like to be. I'm going to send you Teddy and me. Maybe that'll give you some pleasure. Look, we're talking about the crazy world that we live in when it comes right down to it. A crazy world where a madman in North Korea is threatening to blow up half the world. Donald Trump one day says NATO is bad, then he says NATO is good. Interest rates are too low, now they're just right. Yellen is no good, she's good. We don't know what to make of it all at a certain point. And so we keep going on here, and we hope we get more out of the administration than less. And then I have to tell you, in the midst of it all, I'm just a man suffering from allergies, and I take the Sudafed, and it starts to affect my ability to think and function. And I'm counting on you to understand that we're all human, like the man just said. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Michael Savage back with you. You know, my mother always used to say that you are what you eat. You know, she was right, okay? Yeah, but who knows what's healthy anymore? Well, there are things we know are healthy. And that's why Superbeets is a product I tell you about. It's a circulation superfood. Just a simple glass a day helps give you the cardiovascular power of this amazing vegetable. So why is this important? It's about healthy blood flow. If you're over 40, your body may be losing its efficiency around energy, stamina, and even maintaining healthy blood pressure. If you drink good-for-you superfoods, you can help feed your body's cardiovascular and circulatory system and boost your stamina and energy at the core level. Professional and college athletes trust Superbeets to help them be their best, and you should too. So do something good for yourself. Go to SavageLovesBeets.com and try Superbeets for yourself. And right now, you can get an additional 30-day supply of Superbeets for no additional cost with your first order plus free shipping. So go to SavageLovesBeets.com today or call 800-481-0504. Write it down. That's 1-800-481-0504. Well, here we see USA's dropped a massive bomb on ISIS. I guess we're supposed to cheer. That's a good bomb because they're bad and we're good. And Kim Jong-un, if he drops a bomb, of course, is bad because he's bad and we're good. It's very hard to keep which bomb is good and which bomb is bad. Well, let's all cheer. The ratings for Trump will go through the roof even more. More bombs is good for ratings. So expect to see more bombs, and more bombs. It works every time for every president.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. He will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, President Trump is meeting right now with the NATO Secretary General. If anything comes out of that press conference, we will bring it to you here at the Savage Nation. But as I said, many of the topics and much of the news that we are discussing here now can be found ahead of time in Dr. Savage's latest book, Trump's War, His Battle for America. Coming up later, we're going to be talking about a little bit. Actually, I want to introduce now, but we're going to continue, I mean, talking about Russia. The Trump Justice Department is going to end catch and release, the immigration policy. See, it's not all doom and gloom. It's not all we're on the brink of nuclear war. Russia hates us. We hate Russia. North Korea and China and everybody's in this mishmash of a lack of trust and hate. A lot is going on with immigration. And in Chapter 4 of Trump's War, Dr. Savage writes, "How about sanctuary cities for U.S. citizens?" A novel concept. Well, Dr. Savage has been talking about sanctuary cities for years and basically focusing on the fact that if you are a city leader, whether it's city commissioner, mayor, sheriff, and you are in taking part in a sanctuary city, you condone a sanctuary city, you're breaking the law. In the book Trump's War, His Battle for America, Dr. Savage focuses on the issue of sanctuary cities. Page 84, Chapter 4. I encourage you to check it out. More important now than ever. But Attorney General Jeff Sessions declared the new era in immigration, saying the prosecutors will try to bring stiffer criminal charges against repeat illegal immigrant offenders and smugglers as part of President Trump's crackdown. I think this is a good thing. There's a lot going on out there that we don't know about. You have the Keystone Pipeline getting okayed, the Dakota Pipeline being okayed, Trans-Pacific Partnership early months ago out the window. The media is not going to focus on anything positive that the Trump administration does. And I think, obviously, fulfilling his promises on immigration is a big step forward, because that's really what launched him. I think that's what put him in the White House. So while he's got all of this going on, he's got his team working on ending catch and release. It's not ended yet, but it's one of those things where you can't catch these people, release them, or give them a court date, because then they're not going to come. So President Trump fulfilling one of his promises, making immigration tougher. We've got a lot of reports about what's going on down at the border. There have been confusing reports whether border crossings have lessened or not. But it comes down to, I think that, I don't know the exact numbers, but I do think there are less people coming over because President Trump comes along as a strong and decisive leader. And the perception is the reality that, hey, if you cross over, you're going to get deported. Catch and release is now going away. That'll trickle down across the border faster than you know. And people aren't going to waste their time. They're certainly not going to give their hard-earned money to the coyotes down there who rape, steal, and pillage down there with these poor people and send them back the other way. So they're not going to risk their lives just to be sent back, is what I'm saying. So the issue of immigration, you're not going to hear it on the news. There were some sound bites yesterday from Jeff Sessions that we will play a little later, but you're not going to hear the news, the media, it's really propaganda, talking about this because it is positive towards President Donald Trump. Plus, they also disagree with it. They don't think he should be shutting down our borders. He does not think there should be strong immigration policies against illegals who come in here. Quite frankly, I think if you are a sheriff, if you are a mayor, if you are any type of city official, state worker, whatever it is, and you are in favor of sanctuary cities and refuse to enforce the law, you should be fired. Just thrown out and thrown in jail, out of office and into jail. What's the point? Imagine if you had a job, regardless of what industry it is, and you go against what the aim of that company is, and you go against what your boss has in the documents of the company instructs you to do, you'd be fired. Anywhere in private industry, you'd be fired. Now, only for state, federal, and city workers can they not be fired for refusing to do their job. It is truly an amazing phenomenon. So I think it's a great step forward that the Trump Justice Department is trying to end catch and release. Sessions said, and I quote, "For those that continue to seek improper and illegal entry into this country, be forewarned. This is a new era. This is the Trump era." That's a strong word. "The lawlessness, the abdication of the duty to enforce our laws, and the catch and release policies are the past. Of the past are over." Excuse me. End quote. So you have that. With all of this Russia stuff going on, we do have things going on behind the scenes that are, you know, better for America. Making America safer, making America great again. I know it's a campaign phrase, but if we have people who are criminals running around our streets, if we have the problems that they have in Europe due to the lack of leadership, and we had that until January, letting criminals in unvetted, anarchy reigns supreme. Look what's going on in Brussels. Look what's going on in Paris. Look what's going on in London. Look what's going on in various cities in Italy. They don't call them rape fugies for nothing. Sexual assaults that never get reported. And no one, and our politicians, many of them in Washington, D.C., especially former President Obama, who did nothing, actually encouraged illegal immigration, is not looking out for America. Now, I feel that President Trump is looking out for America with his immigration policies. And you can read more about it. You can read on what's coming up, really, in everything about sanctuary cities, has about sanctuary cities for U.S. citizens, Trump's war, his battle for America. Now, I just want to, you can call up about the Justice Department and catch and release. I think that's a very important topic, but I do want to mention, go back on the Russia situation. Jim, if we can play this clip, this is Donald Trump. Strong words about Putin backing what he calls an evil person in Assad and saying how it's bad for Russia. Clip number six, please, Jim.
"And I really think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on Russia to make sure that peace happens. Because frankly, if Russia didn't go in and back this animal, you wouldn't have a problem right now. He was going to be overthrown. I thought he was gone. He had another week. I mean, he was finished. He had nothing. Nothing. And then Russia came in and saved him. And then Obama made one of the worst deals in history with the Iran deal. So you really have Iran, and you have Russia, and you have Assad."
And there's President Trump bringing in Iran, something that nobody wants to talk about. What, $150 billion of your taxpayer dollars given to them? Another $4 billion in cash being put on skids on a plane? Are you kidding me? You're late with your taxes. They come and take you away. They're giving these terrorists, or the number one state sponsor of terrorists, skids full of cash. Truly amazing. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to WABC. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, hi. Did you ever hear of American propaganda?
Sure.
Does that ring a bell with you?
I know you're referring to something specific, but you could say that American propaganda is a bunch of things. What are you referring to?
Okay. Does the United States have blood on its hands, just like maybe not as horrific as Assad, but I think in the last 100 years or so, the military-industrial complex, and might makes right, we only had two legitimate wars. World War One and World War Two. The others were driven by the military-industrial complex, and might makes right. Okay? Do you agree or disagree?
You said a lot on certain parts. Actually, the Korean War is technically still going on. It was never declared ended. So technically, it is still going on. Obviously, we're not engaged, but it is still going on there. My father served in the Korean War in the 1950s, and it never came to an end. You know, we never had we had victory in Europe Day, victory in Japan Day, but we never had victory in Korea Day. That one's not on the calendar. But when you refer to blood on the hands, what are you talking about? Regime change, bombing cities? What are you referring to, Bob?
More specifically, Bush-Cheney, war for oil, might makes right.
Is that what you think we're looking at now?
Well, okay, no, that was then. But that was probably the cause, or one of the major causes, of the collapse of the Middle East.
Well, the Middle East has always been in turmoil. I mean, since the days, you know, thousands of years ago, there's always been turmoil.
Let me put it another way. Iraq was stabilized by Iran. In other words, they were both mortal enemies. In other words, Iraq kept Iran in check, and Iran kept Iran.
Well, they battled ferociously against each other from 1980 to 1988. I don't know if you call that keeping it in check, but they definitely battled for 8 years.
We destroyed Iraq, and now Iran is a superpower. That's number one. Number two.
Well, you got to look at the history. You're speaking in a lot of specifics. We were in bed with Iran for decades with the Shah of Iran. Okay, and you know he lived a great lifestyle, and he was kind of our puppet there for a long time, and he got overthrown by the Ayatollahs. In what late 1970s, when the embassy fell and the hostages were taken, 444 days, Iraq wasn't even on the map. Actually, Saddam Hussein was working with our CIA. I think there's pictures out there of him sitting with George H.W. Bush and Rumsfeld and others. He was working with us for a while. So that was in the days of when Ayatollah Khomeini took over. In 1978, 79, right around there, obviously during the Jimmy Carter years. So you can't just paint everything with a broad stroke. There's reasons behind it. But yes, the Shah was our puppet there. Iran was in our back pocket because we controlled the Shah. Saddam Hussein was an ally, if you will, at that time, and we didn't have a problem with those two countries at all.
Okay. Well, why did we go into Iraq? It was for oil, right?
I think so, yes.
I think so also. Okay, I just want to... Tillerson, I think, first of all, I agree with a previous caller about a shot across the bow. I think what the United States did when they attacked the Syrian airfield, first of all, there were no casualties as far as I can tell. The only thing that was destroyed were 20 planes or something. I think that was a warning shot. So I agree with your previous caller. Also, Tillerson, I think he's on the right track now. I would go one step further. I would offer Putin a seat at NATO and see if he takes it.
You have to earn that seat. After all, we're paying the bills on NATO. But, Bob, thanks for your call. Do appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. He'll come back tomorrow. And remember to get your copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. Folks, books do not just debut on the New York Times bestseller list at number one. There is a reason why these books are flying off the shelves, and if you want to get in and find out why, I've given you some teases today, but there is a heck of a lot more information. If you want to be ahead of the curve as to what's going on in the world and what's coming, you're going to read Trump's War, His Battle for America. Lou Pate in for Dr. Savage here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
Frankly, Putin is back in a person that's truly an evil person. And I think it's very bad for Russia. I think it's very bad for mankind. It's very bad for this world. But when you drop gas or bombs or barrel bombs, they have these massive barrels with dynamite and they drop them right in the middle of a group of people. And in all fairness, you see the same kids, no arms, no legs, no face. This is an animal.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. He will return tomorrow. There is President Trump talking about Bashar Assad and the chemical attack and the videos that troubled all of the world, which then it was the videos that led him to bomb the airspace. Was it the right thing to do? I'd like to hear from the Trump supporters out there. There has been an outcry from the base online and all throughout the media. And is that what's keeping Donald Trump from moving forward into Syria? Today, Rex Tillerson met with Vladimir Putin, got a generic word salad response from him. Was anything accomplished? Or is it just too early to tell? Does Trump have to be tough on Russia to prove it to the left-wing media and the Democrats that he didn't collude? Or did he bomb just to make former President Obama look bad? There's a lot of different ways you can go with that. And looking at Trump's war, his battle for America, right at the very start, Dr. Savage talks about Trump's war against the enemies within. The shot heard around the world, and he references when the British subjects fired on British troops at Lexington and Concord. They called it the shot heard around the world. Is Trump bombing the Syrian airspace the modern-day version of the shot heard around the world? It's not subjects firing on their own troops, but he is sending a message. That was the start of the American Revolution, what he's referring to there. But is this the modern-day version of the bomb dropped around the world? Because now the world is listening. We have the president of China. We have now Putin and Tillerson. We have Trump now talking about Syria. The question is, where do we go from here? Let's go to John at WABC. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
All right. Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Lou. I'm a Trump supporter, voted for Trump, and I got to be honest with you, got one foot out the door with this Syria decision that he made. Idlib province, where he dropped the bombs, is a terrorist-controlled area that's not in dispute. Al-Qaeda, offshoot of al-Nusra, is the main group in charge. This group has beheaded Christians and other people, burned people alive in cages, and they have confirmed used chemical weapons in Iraq. So we know they've used chemical weapons before, so the whole media narrative to me of taking this as a foregone conclusion that it was Assad who did it, I think is a travesty of justice before we have an actual investigation. It reminds me of the Iraq WMD, and that's not why I voted for Trump, and that's not why a lot of people voted for Trump, was a continuation of those same policies.
Well, that's an excellent point, John, but are you in favor of an investigation to find out if it was, as the Russians say, the rebels, or as we are saying, the Americans are saying, it was Assad?
Well, I'm in favor of exactly what the Russians said today with Lavrov. He said, let's have an independent investigation.
All right. Thanks for your call. So you're in favor of it. That's not bad. Lou Pate in for Dr. Savage. You're listening to the Savage Nation, the home of Trump's war, his battle for America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
As events shift, the United States will continue to evaluate its strategic options and opportunities to de-escalate violence across Syria. Many nations look to the Geneva process to resolve the Syrian conflict in a way that produces stability and gives the Syrian people the opportunity to determine their own political future. And our hope is Bashar al-Assad will not be a part of that future.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He will be back tomorrow. That was Rex Tillerson, our Secretary of State. That is a strong statement saying our hope is Bashar al-Assad will not be part of that future, meaning the future of Syria. Well, then where do we go from here now that the children are all grown up, as the song says? Where do you go? I mean, you want him gone. The world feels he has to be gone. Is it worth starting a world war over this despot, over this dictator? I know he's done a lot of bad things. Chemical attacks on his people, I think 8 times, the most recent being last week. But is it worth starting a war over? I'd like to focus on the issue of President Trump and his base, because I think it's going to be very telling. We just heard from one of Trump supporters who says he's got one foot out the door. This is it. The bombing of Syria is something that has turned him off immensely, and there has been a huge outcry from the Trump base after the bombing of Syria. They were against it. They said this is not what he promised. This is not what's going on. So is Bashar al-Assad worth starting a huge conflict, possibly another world war? Think about that. 855-400-SAVAGE. And I do question, why do we have U.S. warships headed toward the North Korean coast? This, as North Korea prepares to celebrate the 105th birthday of its founder, Kim Jong-sung, on April 15th. President Donald Trump ordered the aircraft carrier Carl Vinson, along with 3 guided missile destroyers and the cruisers, to leave Singapore, this was on Saturday, in response to North Korea's latest missile test. That according to the New York Times, and also as reprinted in Newsmax.com. I mean, here's what we have. For those of you who don't remember, Kim Jong-il, the father of Kim Jong-un, used to try to show military might by shooting missiles into the Sea of Japan all of the time. And everybody just laughed it off. Now, Kim Jong-un, who I feel is a psychopath, but in a sense a joke too, does the same thing. He sends missiles into the Sea of Japan. He wants to sit at the adult table. He wants to be taken seriously. But the world is not going to take him serious. China is only dealing with him because they have to deal with him because he is there. For China, it's more geographic. It's not that they like Kim Jong-un. It's not that they support Kim Jong-un. They have to support him. It's more geographic. So why are we poking the panda bear there in Kim Jong-un with his Chinese support? Why are we, is it a taunt? Is it a test? Are we possibly looking down the barrel of an unnecessary confrontation there? I can't say I agree with sending ships there. No American interests have been threatened. No American people have been threatened. Kim Jong-un shoots off his mouth that he would nuke America. Yeah, he would if he could, but he can't. And we have the president of China sitting down having chocolate cake with President Obama. Excuse me, President Trump. Excuse me. Still in the old era there. And it seems that that meeting went well. So when you have the puppet master of North Korea in China getting along well with our president, why inflame the temperament of the situation by sending ships into the North Korean coast, especially when they're going to have a big holiday? You know, we don't want anybody raining down on our July 4th, do we? We don't want anybody raining down on our Memorial Day or our Labor Day, do we? No. So why seek an possibly unnecessary confrontation there? Again, this is alarming the base, and we are a very vocal base, and there is an outcry coming from the base. Could it be, as Dr. Savage talks about in Trump's war, his battle for America, could it be the same thing as the Obama administration felt back in the day, as the rhinos in the Republican establishment felt when Trump came on the scene? Could Trump feel he's possibly losing his power, or the people behind the scenes feel he's losing his power, is a better way to put it? It's all there in Trump's war, his battle for America. When establishment folks who are very powerful and they are entrenched in their power feel like they are going to lose that power, it's like having a rat cornered. And it is only dangerous when you corner a rat or you corner a snake. And most, if not all, politicians are rats and snakes. And when their power is questioned, they will attack. Is one of those rats or snakes whispering in President Trump's ear because they fear losing their power? Well, read Trump's war, his battle for America, to get more insight on that. Let's get back to the phones. Gary, WCFO in Georgia, welcome to the Savage Nation with Lou Pate.
Lou, it's an honor to speak with you today, sir.
It's an honor to have you call. Thank you. I know you've been holding for a while. I appreciate and respect your time.
Well, I just wanted to call in today and simply say, as a Republican political consultant for the last 6 years, that the strike in Syria is precisely what I believe the principle of peace through strength looks like in this situation. President Trump campaigned on making America great again. Part of that was rebuilding the military and rebuilding our reputation as a nation who would back its allies. The most important weapon in our arsenal is a strong, decisive president that exercises hard power diplomacy. The American people built that key element of our arsenal with their vote in November. To my mind, America First was a domestic trade policy messaging effort to break down the blue wall in the upper Midwest. It was not a guarantee of isolationism or non-interventionism on the foreign policy front when American interests and humanitarian interests are at stake, even if that's what the libertarians among Trump supporters felt that is what it meant. It's really
Let me ask you this, Gary. I asked this question earlier, but no, the excellent points of what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but in reference to the bombing in Syria and a possible escalation, and now warships headed toward the North Korean Sea, as mentioned in Newsmax.com, do you think that that President Trump bombed the Syrian airport because he felt really, I mean, obviously the videos were horrible and he's a human. Of course he felt bad. I felt bad. But did someone whisper in his ear, and did he use the chemical attack to be an aggressor militarily in order to, well, one, make former President Obama look bad, and then also possibly, you know, get Assad out of there, using it the way they used 9/11 as an excuse to go into Iraq.
The strike was an attention getter. It was a way to bloody a bully's nose and just step back and watch the rest of the world's petty dictators shiver, you know, while Trump built a consensus coalition.
So you, as a Trump supporter, you're okay with it, because a lot of people are not, but it's okay. I mean, and some, I'm sure some are.
Absolutely. I mean, the Trump doctrine has been written. His actions have actually created a doctrine of hard power and peace through strength. And that is what I believe a large segment in the flyover country really wants from Trump.
You know, it's interesting. Gary, no, it's great points. It's funny that the thing that is saying is that the media for a long time said Trump had colluded with Russia in order to win the election. And now the media is saying this strike on Syria is a good thing, even though it knocks out the whole Russia collusion with Trump story. You can't have it both ways. They're kind of contradicting themselves. Which one do you think it is?
Well, as far as the optics and everything, as far as perception goes, I think the media is going to come around and figure out another way to attack Trump myself. It doesn't matter.
I laugh not at you, Gary. I laugh because, boy, that is the understatement of the day. I'm sure they've got seven hands in the pot ready to go there. But, Gary, thanks for your call. Do appreciate it. Let's head up to Anchorage, Alaska. Sergio. Sergio, welcome. My Italian paisan up in the land of the cold, KSRM. How are you?
Hello?
Hey, Sergio, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Lope. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to talk with Michael Savage, but if he feels comfortable leaving you in his show, I think you're a pretty smart guy, too, so I feel pretty comfortable talking with you, too.
Well, I am forever indebted to Dr. Savage for allowing me to sit in for him. It is definitely an honor, and I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, no.
Hey, Sergio, one question. Did you get your copy of Trump's War yet?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you get your copy of Trump's War yet?
No, not yet. I'm a Michael Savage fan, but I never get a chance to get any of his.
You have to get it. You have to get it and read it and give it to your cousin. I'm telling you, because whatever question you're going to ask right now, if you had Trump's War, I bet you'd have the answer already.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, my quick question is, first of all, I'm conservative. I'm a Trump supporter. And I was just wondering, is it true that the bombing in Syria cost $110 million? And if that was the case, is it true that the airport in Syria was reopened and functioning on the next following day?
I don't know what the cost was. I have to say I don't pay much attention to that type of stuff. But yes, it has been reopened, and They destroyed about a fifth of the airport. They did not totally demolish the airport. Why, do you have a problem with that?
Oh, no.
It was open. That's where the spin starts. Those who are against Trump will say he didn't complete the job. He should have destroyed the whole airport. And those who are for him say he was just sending a message. Where do you fall in that, Sergio?
I want to hear this media online. It's called RT. I think you're familiar with. I think that's for
sure. Right? Yeah, RT.com. Sure.
RT. Yeah, they were, I heard that this morning. And my other question is, if Donald Trump has facts that actually was the government of Syria that they bombed their own people, or maybe the.
Well, that's what they talked about today before CNN reported that they voted against the UN Security Council. But they were going to have an investigation into that. But come on, Sergio, given the history of Assad using chemical weapons on his own people, who do you think did it? I mean, yeah, it could have been the rebels, but highly unlikely.
He's bombing his own people.
Yeah, he's done it like seven other times. This is not the first chemical attack on the people.
Uh-huh. And what is the reason that he's bombing his own people? What's the purpose of that?
Well, they want to snuff out the rebels who are trying to get him out of power.
Oh, okay.
So you have the rebels trying to kill Assad, get him out of power. They don't even want him to go into exile. They want him dead, and because he's been a heinous, murderous dictator. So the rebels want him out, and so that they could ascend to power, put their person in there. And obviously he's trying to stop them from doing that, and he has the help of Russia.
Right, okay. And my last question, if North Korea shuttled missile this Saturday with their parade that they're going to have. What do you think Japan, China, United States will do if this North Korea shoot missiles on Saturday?
I don't think they're going to shoot missiles. But I mean, obviously, it would be all out mayhem. It would be all out war, and I'm sure that President Trump and the President of China discussed that, because I do think they know that China needs North Korea for geographical reasons, but then China also knows that Kim Jong-un is a psychopath, and I'm sure that was something we'll never hear about, but President Trump and President Xi spoke about that behind the scenes, and he told President Xi, I'm just going to send ships to the area, and just to make a statement, but I don't think it's a good idea. But hey, I got to run, Sergio, but thank you for your call. Remember to pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. Let's go to Maggie, and checking in from Reno, KKOH. Welcome, Maggie, to the Savage Nation.
Hi, how are you doing, Lou?
I'm okay. Thank you for holding.
Great. Hey, I was really happy that I went behind the last guy you had, not the last guy, not Sergio, but Gary. Man, what he had to say was, like, spot on, in my opinion. I just signed over to Republican when Trump decided to run. I guess I didn't realize I was a Republican all along. The last 8 years that Obama was in, I really started to pay attention, and I think Trump did the right thing. I think the man knows what he's doing. I don't think he wants war per se, but I think he is doing what a good leader should do by leading with a strong arm. I, for one, have both feet on the ground as far as what he's doing. I'm behind him 100%. Sending the Carl Vinson up to the North China Seas, I think, is a good move. Just to, you know, show that we, you know, first of all, to protect us in case something does happen, we have to be prepared. I agree with his strategy of not telling everybody what our next step is going to be. I think.
Well, that I'm with you, too. When we Somalia and every place, we have the news teams waiting for our troops on the beach. It was ridiculous. But let me ask you this. So you're okay with the bombing of the Syrian airport. What if we take it further? Of course, though. Today, President Trump famously said to Fox News, to Maria Bartiromo, that we are not going into Syria. What if we did? Hypothetically, what if we went in there? How would you feel about that, Maggie?
You know, nobody wants to cause a war. I think to support them and help teach them how to keep their own people on the ground to do what they need to do to protect not only their people.
Wait, just quickly, because I'm up against the break, Maggie. Would you be bothered by escalation, yes or no?
I would not be bothered by it.
All right. Well, short and to the point. Maggie, thanks for your call. Do appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. Lou Pate here with you. Make sure you pick up your copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. You'll be in the know, and you'll be in the know more than your friends, and then you can lend them the book. Yeah, let them buy their own copy. You're listening to The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
I will tell you that we have gone back through and looked at all the evidence we can, and it is very clear who planned this attack, who authorized this attack, and who conducted this attack itself. That we do know, with no doubt whatsoever.
And that was Secretary of Defense Mad Dog Mattis talking about no doubt that the Syrian regime responsible for the chemical attack. Well, now everybody has said they were going to take part in an investigation, but now with the Russians vetoing a UN Security Council deal, as reported by CNN, that kind of is up in the air. Hey, if you're holding, please continue to hold. You're listening to The Savage Nation. My name is Lou Pate, sitting in for Dr. Savage, who will return tomorrow. And if you pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America, you'll look at Chapter 12, Can Liberals Read a Map? Dr. Savage talks about Obama tried to, Obama tried to provoke a war with Russia right up until the day he walked out of office of the White House for the last time. I really wasn't sure at times how far he was willing to go. Would he fire missiles at Russia before he left like a juvenile delinquent, throwing stink bombs into the school he's been thrown out of? Does anyone want more aggression against Russia other than the Reaganites who still think we're living in the Cold War era? And there's more. Just pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America, to find out where that goes. You're listening to The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's the Savage Nation, Lou Pate, filling in for Dr. Savage. Thrilled to be here, but he will be back tomorrow, so do not fret. In the meantime, give us a call, 855-400-SAVAGE. If you're holding, please continue to hold. We're going to get right back into it and get to your phone calls. But in the meantime, pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America, more important now than ever. Remember, folks, it debuted number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Need I say more? I do not need to say more, but I will. We are talking a lot today about the situation with Russia. CNN.com reporting that Russia has vetoed the Syrian resolution. China has abstained. We'll get to more of that. But in the meantime, in Trump's war, his battle for America, a lot of what we are talking about today, most of what we are talking about today, can be found within the pages of Dr. Savage's latest book. And you're not going to be disappointed if you pick this up. From the neocons who always want war, yet line their pockets and that of their cronies and really put our men and fighting men and women in danger. It's in there. If you look at page 145 about neocons, really want to know what is the foundation of this Russia hacking thing and why the rhinos and the other establishment folks are pushing it forward. It is right here, all in Trump's war. But it's not just Russia. It's not just war. If you look in page 60, a realistic plan to replace Obamacare. Remember, it blew up in President Trump's face because he listened to the powers that be, the establishment folks, Paul Ryan and others, on the right-hand side of the aisle, which I think was a mistake. I think Paul Ryan should be out of the speaker seat, but I've been saying that since the beginning. But in Trump's war, his battle for America, Dr. Savage lays it all out for you, a realistic plan to replace Obamacare. That and much more, we'll get to that in a little while. But in the meantime, we're talking Russia. We're talking them vetoing the Syrian resolution. We are talking about immigration, the end of catch and release. Folks, it is not all doom and gloom out there, regardless of what you're going to see on CNN and MSNBC and other outlets, your local affiliates and so on and so forth, who feed off of these things, and many of the lies that you might see on the Internet. There are some positives coming out of the Trump administration, such as I mentioned earlier, he keeping his promises about immigration, getting strict, less people coming over the borders. The numbers, you know, you can argue them, but that's just the minutia. That's just semantics. The numbers have definitely gone down of those trying to cross the border. What they are exactly, no one really knows, so why debate them? But the message is that there is a tough leader. Unlike our former president, Obama, I'm not here to pick on Obama. That's just too easy. That's like, you know, taking candy from a baby, but he didn't do his job. His first job was to keep America safe, and in keeping us safe, you have to protect our borders. He not only didn't protect our borders, didn't keep us safe, he encouraged people to break the law and encouraged the powers that be in local jurisdictions to turn the other cheek against those who were breaking the law. Regular Americans, well, be damned. And as Dr. Savage talks about in Trump's war, his battle for America, I mentioned earlier, how's about sanctuary cities for Americans? It's all in it. It's truly amazing, I got to tell you. It's very visionary, this book, and you will enjoy it, and you'll be talking about it with your friends, and they'll think you're very smart. They will. And then they'll read the book and say, I know, and they'll not only read the book, and then they'll start listening to the show. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Dr. Savage's hometown of San Francisco, Rose, KSFO. Welcome to the Savage Nation with Lou Pate.
Hi, Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yes.
Hi, Rose. You have a lot of energy. I feed off of your energy. You have a lot of energy. I like that.
Oh, I've been watching this politics now for so long since Obama was in there. I'm so glad he's out. I so much support Trump. However, I did not really like him before he even started to run. I didn't think he was going to win, but I'm so glad he did now. I am glad that he went in and bombed Syria. That it's something that had to be done. If you're sitting there and you're watching a helpless woman or a helpless child getting beat up, getting hurt, are you going to stand there and watch it? Or are you going to take?
No, of course not. You're going to intervene and try and save them, but I see what you're saying, Rose. But where do we go from here now? You're okay with the bombing? I respect your opinion on that. What about escalation? What about that?
About what?
What about, like, where do we go from here? We bombed the airport. That sent a message. I agree with you that it definitely sent a message, and it's got the world talking, hence the meeting with Tillerson and Putin today. Now, where do we go from here? Do we remove Assad, or do we just send that message? What if he does it again? There's so many questions.
Well, the thing is no, we don't remove Assad. That's not our problem. But we did step in whenever someone needed help. They were helpless. Now, if he does it again, Trump already gave him his do it again and watch what happens. You know, do it again and see what happens. I think he's already been warned. Trump has to stay firm, unlike Obama that had no backbone. He shouldn't have never been in there. He should have been impeached. Liberals never did that. Republicans kept their mouth shut. They should have gone in there and fought about it, but they didn't. And now they're in there trying to harass Trump with all the stuff that he's doing. Get those Republicans out, too. Get the liberals out, too. Who cares what they say? But, yes, as far as the ships going in over to North Korea or over there, yes, I agree. They should go over there. I think
okay.
They should. Or Russia, wherever they're going, China, I think they should go. They should be setting themselves up in case anything happens. If Trump doesn't send out ships there, then they're going to say, well, why didn't you do anything?
Rose, you are a hawk, are you not?
Oh, I am hot for this because you know what?
Not hot. You are a hawk. HAWK.
Oh gosh, yes, I am a hawk. I am a tomahawk. But, you know,
all right, wait. One question because I want to get to the other callers. One last question. Do you think the Iraq war was worth getting rid of Saddam Hussein? And I counter that with, do you think it's worth going to war to get rid of Assad?
No, I don't think it's worth going to war with it, but. I mean, I don't want to go to war either, but if that's what it takes, then that's what we have to do. We have to keep, I mean, come on, Syria has ISIS over there. I mean, how much more can you ask about, well, what's going on over there? Is it in our best interest? Well, no, it's not in our best interest to get rid of Assad, but it is in our best interest to stop ISIS. And I
That is true. I'm with you on that, Rose. Thank you very much for your call. I do think, I wish that the powers that be, whether it be China, Russia, the United States, would come together and literally decapitate the head of ISIS and put the world out of their misery and their spreading of their cancer and death. Ron, WKZO in Michigan, welcome to the Savage Nation with Lou Pate. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for taking the call.
I appreciate you calling in. What's on your mind?
I'd like to make, and I'd like to follow it up with a question, and maybe you or some of your other callers could address it. You recall in 2013, the Obama administration, along with the mainstream media, went head over heels against Assad because they claimed he had attacked his own citizens with chemical weapons. Later, after some research and investigation had been done, it was discovered that the chemical weapons were launched not from within Assad's territory, but from within territory held by the rebels. Now we have a situation that appears to be just exactly the same thing we saw in 2013, and the President Trump, instead of sticking to his campaign promise to avoid counterproductive wars of regime change, is speaking the same song that the neocons were speaking back in 2013. Now the question that I have is, what could possibly be the motivation for President Assad to launch a chemical attack which would bring the world opinion against himself and actually help his enemies, being ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the other rebel organizations within Syria.
Well, I don't think he cares, Ron, about what the world thinks, because he has done this before. This chemical attack last week was not the first. He's done it at least, I think it's the number 7 times before. So it's nothing new to him to drop chemical bombs, not on the rebels, but on his own people. We just had the video this time, and there were the horrifying pictures, the father cradling his 2 dead babies, the twins, and then other pictures of him. He had buried his wife, the mother of the said babies, that the mother died, the babies died, the guy lost his whole family, and numerous other equally horrifying pictures involving women and children. And as Donald Trump said in that clip we played earlier about, you know, kids with no arms and no legs, it was horrifying. So this is not a man with a conscience. He's done it before. He did it again. I just asked the question earlier, do you think he was being baited by Assad or a.k.a. the Russians? What do you think?
Well, I personally think, without knowing the facts at this point, that the chemical attack was launched by one of the terrorist organizations within Syria. I do not believe that it was conducted by President Assad.
So you think it's a setup?
I would definitely say.
Setting up Assad. All right, I'll have to disagree with you on that. But, Ron, thanks for your call. Do appreciate it. That is what the Russians say. The Russians are saying that the rebels did it, or, you know, ISIS-affiliated groups did it. The United States is saying it's Assad. It's not a matter of who did it. It was done, okay? The matter is we went in there. President Trump bombed the Syrian airport. He says now we are not going into Syria. Is this our fight? I understand coming to the aid of women and children. I was sickened, as everybody was, by those videos. But where do we go from here? Is Assad worth starting a major conflict, possibly with the Russians? Think about it. 855-400-SAVAGE. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. He will be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. It's more important now than ever. And I think I've made that case. I've read from the book. I've cited how today's news stories are parallel with, actually, the book comes before. They're not parallel. The book predicts what is going on right now. So if you want to see what is coming next, pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. You're listening to The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
I will tell you that we have gone back through and looked at all the evidence we can, and it is very clear who planned this attack, who authorized this attack, and who conducted this attack itself. That we do know, with no doubt whatsoever.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage, who will return tomorrow. 855-400-SAVAGE. To those of you holding, do not go away. I'm going to get to all of your calls, and anybody else who is so inclined to take part in the conversation, we welcome you to our procession here at the Savage Nation. But first, that was General James Mattis, nicknamed Mad Dog. It's not a name he likes to be called in public, but it is his nickname. And the reason I play that clip for you again, because in Chapter 4 of Trump's War, His Battle for America, there's on page 118, Restoring the Purged Officers. And Dr. Savage says as follows, I wrote about Mattis back in 2014 in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. I was raising the red flags about how Obama had purged more than 200 military officers at the rank of colonel or higher. He had replaced these officers with useless puppets who would go along with his plans to transform the military into a progressive social program. One of those fired by this Castronite was General James Mattis. And who is James Mattis? He is a great Marine and the former head of the U.S. Central Command, or CENTCOM. It goes on, folks. You want to see where Dr. Savage takes it? Now, more important than ever, Trump's war, his battle for America. Truly an inspiring and very interesting tome. You're definitely going to want to read it and purchase it and give it as a gift as well. back to the phones here on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Scott at WABC. Welcome, Scott, to the Savage Nation. I know you've been there a while. I appreciate and respect your time.
I'd like to say that America attacks Syria because innocent and helpless men, women, children, and babies, of course, were being slaughtered with poison gas. But what gets me very upset and shocked is that America never has come to the aid of innocent and helpless Palestinian men, women, children, and babies who have been slaughtered by the evil Zionists. I mean,
hold on, Scott, because Israel is our ally, and our support for Israel is something that is unconditional and should be unconditional, and something I support unconditionally. Israel is our only ally in that region. They are our only friend in that region. And if you think the Palestinians are your friend or the friend of anybody other than other Arabs who want to slaughter our Israeli friends in the region, then you're blind and you're mistaken with your hatred. And I suggest that you educate yourself on what is going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians in that conflict there before you just go making blanket statements about what America has done. President Obama, on the way out the door, gave the Palestinians $220 million of our taxpayer dollars. What do you think they're going to do with that? They're going to use it against the Israelis. So know what you're talking about before you get on a national blowtorch like the Savage Nation and make a fool of yourself. And there's a lot more that goes there, but that we could do a whole show on the Palestinian blood on their hands, shooting missiles over the walls and into Israel. And don't even get me started on that. I want to get to legitimate callers here. Let's go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tara at KFAQ, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, hello. You know, I think sometimes we have to get back to first theory. We forget often how horrible war can be. And for Christians, we have to ask ourselves, why are we there?
It's a good question. Excellent question.
First principles. I mean, are we there for territory, resources? Are we there to protect Israel?
Just quickly, Tara, just got a few seconds. Why do you think we're there?
Well, the tragic thing about Syria is that it was a fairly civil society.
But why are we there? Quick, you got 10 seconds.
Arab Spring. I mean, and
all right. We're not going to find out. All right, Tara, but thanks for your call. We got to go. I'm up against the break. I apologize. Lou Pate here with you. It's the Savage Nation, the home of Trump's war.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage. He will return tomorrow. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the situation with Russia, the situation with Rex Tillerson, our Secretary of State, meeting with Vladimir Putin earlier today, and then the subsequent press conference. We're talking about the issue of sanctuary cities, immigration, and Attorney General Sessions talking about new border security actions, the end of catch and release. A lot going on here. We're also talking about Trump's war, the contents of Trump's war, his battle for America. And we've been going through the book because they align with so much of what I've been talking about today and so much of what Dr. Savage has been talking about in recent weeks. It's very visionary. It's an excellent read. You're definitely going to want to enjoy it if you pick it up or when you pick it up. We've addressed not just the issue of Russian hacking and war and things of that nature. There's also the issue of realistic plan to repeal Obamacare, sanctuary cities, restructuring military spending, and, of course, the neocons that President Trump must face every day and their counterproductive methods of his efforts to try and make America great again. So check it out, Trump's War, His Battle for America. Now let's get to the phones. Jeremy at WFNR in Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, thank you, Lou. You're doing a great job filling in for Dr. Savage today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a lot of work being in the big chair, and I have a new appreciation. Every time I'm here, I have more of an appreciation of what Dr. Savage does for the audience every day.
Oh, that's right. I know it is, because it's hard, man, especially filling in for somebody like him. That's big shoes to fill.
Yes.
Basically, I just wanted to comment on the Syria bombings that we did the other day, and just kind of make a point that, you know, Americans lose focus too easy.
Wait, now, hold on, hold on. It says on my screen here, you're a veteran.
Hell.
You know, you're a veteran? What did you serve? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jeremy. You're a veteran?
Yes, sir.
When did you, were you Army, Marines? What were you, Air Force?
I was in the Air Force. I was
okay, so you're giving this to me from a veteran standpoint. So I'm more so interested. So I'm sorry, the floor is yours.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I was a 2W151. I was deployed in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom back in 2003 for the initial invasion. And, you know, a lot of this stemmed from, you know, the American public, first of all, forgot that, you know, wars aren't won in a day. You know, they're not won in a couple days. They're not won in a week, you know. You may be able to shut something down pretty quick and say you did, but it very rarely ends that way. We all know that. History tells us that.
Now, as someone who has served, Jeremy, are you for or – I mean, I'm assuming you're a Trump supporter.
Yes, absolutely.
Are you for or against the actions taken thus far against Syria, and do you think we should move forward with them?
I mean, again, it's always tricky. Again, you know, a lot of people assume that you talk to a veteran and they automatically assume that they think that that veteran wants to go to war, and they're always wanting, but very rarely.
Well, you know what happens when you assume, Jeremy. You know what happens when you assume.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But just from the veterans that I know, very few of them are real quick to jump back into something. Now, don't get me wrong. There was times where I would want to go back to be with some of the guys that were deployed with me. But, you know, that's more of the camaraderie that's forged. Yeah.
Well, there's camaraderie in military units. There's camaraderie on sports teams. No, I didn't think you meant going back for the for what is the hell of war. But you've seen it. You guys have seen it. You know how horrible it is. You've felt it. You've lost friends.
So anybody,
it's not good.
There knows that that's not something you're real quick to throw your brother in arms right back into. And this thing with Syria, I mean, it should have been because who's the leader of ISIS? Al-Baghdadi. And where is he at?
That's the guy with the very expensive watch.
Right. Yeah.
No, the guy was like, his watch is worth a few thousand dollars, and, you know, he's pretending, you know, he's getting all these poor kids to blow themselves up as suicide bombers, and he's living in the lap of luxury.
Right. That's it. That's how these guys think, you know, and I use the word guys think real loosely there, you know. I'd like to call them something else, but I know it's a talk show, so we'll keep it.
You'll get me fired.
Again, that's the thing. We should have finished it up. We left a power vacuum there, and people forget that these people are not raised in first world countries where they have problems like how long's the line at Starbucks or how long is my Amazon order going to take to get here. These people have real...
And I need a safe space.
Right, exactly. These people have real problems. And when you have problems like that, like clean water, somewhere to live, not worrying about saying something and somebody reporting you to secret police and them coming in the middle of the night and bashing your hands with hammers and stuff like that, you know, these people are scared. So when they have some lunatic get up there and preach to them from the time they're able to understand anything that America and the West is the infidel and that they're here to kill us. And
yeah, these young people are brainwashed.
They have to wipe us off before we wipe them out, you know.
Right.
Just, it creates an atmosphere of hate and bloodlust, essentially. And that's what it is. That's all it boils down to, is that, you know, they want to preach that this is, because I'm from the school of the whole ideology, and I know
so,
I may not sound PC.
I'm
when
with
I
you.
Say
so basically, you're a military man who served in Iraqi Freedom 2003, and you don't think we should escalate this?
Well, I'm not sure about that, because I'm all about let's do something before it gets too out of hand. I'm all about that, and I'm not going to apologize for anything that we did while we were there, because I believed in.
Nor should you.
Right. You know, people want to, you know, poo-poo on Iraq anyways to begin with, but people forget that, you know, George W. Bush had 90% approval for that war, you know.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this, because I said, and just so you know, Jeremy, I said earlier, We shouldn't have gone into Iraq. We should have gone into Afghanistan. And that is not an anti-Iraq war statement. I just think that the powers that be manipulated the situation of 9/11, and you and your friends would have been just as brave to go into Afghanistan. I don't condemn you. I don't criticize you for doing what you did. I never would do that. It's brave just to go into that. But I do think that you and your troops were sent to the wrong place.
That we had put the full force of the American military in there on them and let us loose and let us do what we can do, as you know, the American military has shown we can do.
Hey, I agree. Jeremy, I got to run. You can't fight a politically correct war, but thank you for your service and thank you for your call. Let's go to Brad, WFTW, in my current home of Florida. Welcome, Brad, to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Lou, this is Brad. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Called to respond to the caller, I think it was two calls ago, who said he believes the Syrian rebels were the ones who initiated the chemical attack.
Yeah, the Russians said that, too. That's where he's piggybacking that comment. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I work as an intel analyst right now for the Air Force. I'm retired from the Army 22 years. I was in Iraq also.
And I commend you for your service.
Thank you. And we definitely have the ability to know where the attack came from. It's not real hard. I can't go into methods and capabilities and so forth. But
I think, Brad, it's just kind of common sense. I mean, the man has chemically bombed his own people before. Isn't it kind of safe to assume it's him?
Well, we don't have to assume anything. We know exactly where the attack came from. It came from the base we just obliterated. And we even know the pilot's name. This is how good our intel capabilities are. And where I stand on this, Trump is my president. I support him completely. And I told my younger daughter, who's 20 years old, asked me about this situation. And I said, it's a proud day to be an American. And I used the analogy of if you were standing there watching a bully beat up a little kid on the playground and you had the ability to do something about it, I was very proud we did do something about it.
Okay, now, Brad, two questions. One, just any short answers, please. Okay, where do we go from here now? Do we escalate? Trump says we're not going into Syria. That's a quote. But where do we go from here, and what do you tell people, Trump supporters, many of which have called today, where there is an outcry from them, from the base, that he do not go forward? And I think he's feeling some of the pressure from his base, because after all, it is politics. There is the 2018 midterms, and then there is re-election in 2020. So quickly, where do we go from here, and what do you say to other Trump supporters who are against the bombing?
Well, I would say, like I told my daughter, it's a proud day to be an American. We've been watching this stuff happen from a standpoint of weakness for years. And the other day, we showed our strength, and we sent a very strong message. And where do we go from here? We don't have to go anywhere. The next move is theirs. But what Trump showed was, if they continue to violate with the use of chemical weapons and so forth, we're going to put our foot down. And we did. And you know, from my own viewpoint, I think Russia's glad we did it. They want to keep Assad in power because he's their puppet. They got their air base now in Syria, and they were probably glad we smacked him down. And because
Brad, thank you for your call. I thought that. I did. I thought that on Friday until I found out they knew about the chemical attack. And that changed my opinion. I thought, yeah, they'd like to get rid of him. China would like to get rid of Kim Jong-un. But then you hear that they knew about this in advance, and it's kind of hard to think that. Let's before we go to break, let's go to Utah. KKAT Ed, welcome to the Savage Nation with Lou Pate. Thank you for holding.
All right, Lou. I heard the Pat Buchanan interview yesterday on Michael Savage. I appreciate it. I read Pat Buchanan in the American Free Press newspaper. Are you familiar with it, Lou?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I read Pat Buchanan there. I am outraged right now. I voted for Donald Trump, and I'm still on the Trump train.
Okay.
He needs to do a jettisoning of the neocons like Kirchner. These bring up what the internationalists that he spoke against and railed against, he actually wanted to forge a relationship with Vladimir Putin, not the Chinese that have been stealing our factories. Lou, I hope you would bring on Pat Buchanan yourself, like Michael did yesterday, and I would hope that that previous caller, nice guy, I probably would appreciate him at another venue. But the fact is, the propaganda worked on the neocon wing of the Trump coalition. I'm not buying it. I'm a populist. Phyllis Schlafly, the late, great Phyllis Schlafly, would be outraged if this turnabout happened right here. We did not vote for John McCain. We slapped him down. Yet they're winning behind the scenes.
I tell you what. Yes, Ed, and thank you for your call. I appreciate your passion. I agree with a lot of what you said. There's something troubling about the fact that Never Trump or John McCain all of a sudden supports something that Donald Trump does, and hence the attack in the Syrian airport. To me, that was troubling, because I think John McCain is a complete fool, and his time in the Senate is over, and he should just stop appearing. And by the way, the producers on Meet the Press should stop being lazy and book other guests besides John McCain and Lindsey Graham. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Remember to get your copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. You heard the passion of the last caller? Well, that's the passion that Dr. Savage put into this latest book. A lot of what we talk about today is in this book, which debuted number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Need I say more? Well, I will when we come back here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate filling in for Dr. Savage into the home stretch here. He will be back tomorrow, but just a friendly reminder, and it's something that you will not be disappointed at, to pick up a copy of Trump's War, His Battle for America. I'm telling you, I could use it as show prep for what's coming up on the shows. Truly a visionary tome by Dr. Savage. You're definitely going to want to check it out and then share what you learned from it with your friends. Trust me, Trump's War, His Battle for America, from repealing and replacing Obamacare to restructuring the military to actually a little treat there at the end that I meant to mention and I neglected, which I apologize for. Chapter 13, Savage Solutions. You want to find out what's in there? Pick up Trump's War, His Battle for America. Todd, KVOR, Colorado Springs, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're 24 years old.
Yes. Lou,
says it on my screen. We like that. I'm inhaling the youth. I'm inhaling your youth.
I don't identify as a movement conservative necessarily. I'm more in the kind of nationalist populist camp here. I'm in full agreement with the last caller before the break. You know, if we were 100% sure that this came directly from Assad, we had evidence that we could see demonstrating that fact, I'd be completely okay with the actions that he took. I'm glad to see that the administration doesn't intend to escalate things, but given what happened in 2013, given what Dr. Savage has talked about repeatedly now, that, you know, the U.S. media rushes in to craft the narrative immediately and says, oh, this was a chemical attack by Assad on his own people, without demonstrating that to the American public, when all of the people denouncing Trump throughout the...
Hey, Todd, you faded away. Are you still there with me? You must have hit a bad cell zone. Hey, Todd, you're back? You faded away, Todd. You hit a bad cell zone, but I heard what you said, and I appreciate it. You're 24 years old. You're a Trump supporter. You're against the strike. You agree with what Dr. Savage has been saying in reference to the strike. And I understand where you're coming from. And the only question I was going to ask you, and I'll answer it then, is do you think that people such as yourself, 24-year-old conservative male Trump supporter, continues to support Trump but is against the strike, agrees with Dr. Savage, do you think that your opinions, your outcry from the base, are what's causing Donald Trump to not go further into Syria? I think you have to look at it and say there is pressure there. The aforementioned 2018 midterms and the 2020 re-election. Hey, that's it for me. My name is Lou Pate. Thank you for having me here on the Savage Nation. Special thanks to Robert. Special thanks to Jim. Special thanks to Ron, Team Savage. My name is Lou Pate. Pick up Trump's War, his battle for America. You are listening to The Savage Nation.